We're continuing in our Nehemiah series on restoration. And in the past few weeks, we've kind of had a mini series within this series talking about the spiritual battle that we're in and talking about how important it is, really critically important, that we recognize that we are in a spiritual battle and we need to learn how to fight. So if we're going to experience ongoing restoration in our lives, we have to know that there's a spiritual battle and that we have to be ready. We have to make some changes in our lives in order to not get hung up and not get stuck in a rut or even begin to unravel because of the spiritual battles that we're in. And today we're going to continue to learn more about this battle and how to stand firm in the middle of it. So maybe a picture that we could use in our minds for this sermon is, you could picture yourself kind of in the middle of a hurricane where it's just windy and rainy and there's chaos and confusion going on all around you, as kind of a picture of some of the experiences we can have in the spiritual battle, but you standing firm. How are you going to stand firm? That's kind of the focus of the message this morning. Have you ever had a time in your life where it felt like that, where it felt like things were just spinning out of control and life was just full of chaos and confusion? I think all of us kind of have felt that way, or at least felt that way about 3 months ago when the country was starting to go into lockdown. I know I felt that way the last couple of weeks of March. My head was spinning. I just felt like everything was in chaos. Everything was changing, so there was no more school. The kids were at home. Everything that we were doing here at church had to basically be shut down, and then we had to reinvent new ways on how to do ministry. Both Amy and I were trying to work from home and figure out all that stuff, and many of the things that we had looked forward to doing were canceled and shut down. And so all kinds of things were changing, and many of those things we still are feeling the effects of today. So we've all felt that. We've also all felt other times in our lives where life has been disrupted for one reason or another. Problems have come in and messed things up, or maybe changes that have happened that have made us feel just overwhelmed, like we're up to our eyeballs and we're just kind of overwhelmed. And it could be a family crisis. It might be a financial crisis that you're going through. It could be a problem that you face at work or at school. Maybe at home, you might have lost your job or had to move or come down with a serious health problem. So these things can throw us off. And when they happen, life starts to feel just out of control. And we can really start to struggle with discouragement and anxiety, doubt, fear, and all these things. We can even start to do things that we normally wouldn't do kind of in our panic. We might lash out at people. We might lose our temper with people. We might try to run away and go into hiding and just escape all the problems. Oftentimes we can become inward focused and depressed and covered with kind of a cloud of darkness and become protective and defensive and just get focused on ourselves and experience conflict in other relationships. And so when we go through these times, it can really knock us off track. We get so focused on our own problems and how to cope with them that we kind of forget about God. We forget about the mission that He's given. We forget about the restoration that He's doing in our lives. And I want you to consider this morning, have you ever considered that during those times you might be under spiritual attack? I'm not saying that Satan causes all these problems, but I am saying that during those times I think we're particularly vulnerable. And I think that the spiritual forces of evil look for times when we are vulnerable in order to attack and wreak havoc in our minds. And so that's what I want us to consider this morning, is that there certainly may be spiritual attack happening in those times. And in the passage we're going to look at this morning, the people of Jerusalem were going through one of those times, kind of as a people. Their enemies, we're going to see, were threatening to attack them. And that was sending them really into a tailspin. But the way that they responded under the threat of attack and under the leadership then of Nehemiah ended up frustrating the attempts of the enemy to destroy them, and they were able to continue to do the work of restoration. And so this morning I want us to learn from their responses. I want us to see some unbelievable parallels that happen in our spiritual lives as we look at what happened in the book of Nehemiah. So we've been talking the last few weeks about the enemies of Israel's restoration. We've got a guy named Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. These are three governors surrounding Jerusalem. Last week we saw how they tried to disrupt the rebuilding of the walls by discouraging the people through jeering, despising, and false accusations. But those attempts didn't work, and restoration continued. The people continued to build, and that brings us to our passage for today. So, if you have your Bible, turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. Take a minute to grab your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verses 6 through 12. Here's what it says. So, we built the wall. This was after the previous attacks of these enemies. We built the wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So this passage describes a very disruptive time for the people of Jerusalem. Rebuilding, as you can hear here, was going very well, but their enemies became alarmed because of that, and they gathered together to rise up against Jerusalem. They plotted to fight against them and to cause chaos and confusion in the city in order to stop the work. The people of Jerusalem became aware of that threat, and fear started to spread among them. If you look at these verses 10 through 12, in each verse you can kind of see, it seems like Nehemiah was hearing three different predominant messages during that time. So first of all, in verse 10, from the people of Jerusalem, he was hearing about their exhaustion. Okay, we're exhausted. They were getting discouraged and overwhelmed because of the magnitude of the project they were working on. They felt like they'd never be able to complete the work. You also, in verse 11, there was a message from their enemies that he was hearing, that they were going to take advantage of the workers because of their exhaustion. They were going to kind of quietly infiltrate their ranks and get into different areas of the city and attack them suddenly when the people weren't ready. And then from the people in the outlying areas around Jerusalem, Nehemiah was hearing that they were afraid for their lives because they could see the enemies beginning to stir. And with everyone else focused on the rebuilding of the walls, there was no one left to protect them. And so they were calling out for the workers to come home and protect us. So you can see the threat of attack was escalating. The pressure is coming down on Nehemiah. And the people were being overwhelmed with discouragement and fear. All of these things then were threatening to stop the work of restoration that was going on in Jerusalem, and it was primarily being stirred up again by the enemies of restoration. So when I look at this story, I see that parallel to the spiritual battle that we face in our lives that I spoke about earlier, because all of us go through those times where it feels like life is out of control and problems rise up and pressure sets in and we start to feel overwhelmed like these people felt. We experience desperation and we wonder how bad are things going to get, so we start to have fear. We fear that these things are never going to turn around, and it literally at times feels like we're under attack from, maybe we think of under attack from life. There's lots of fear, lots of anxiety, and fear can keep us from growing in restoration. So it's during those times where I believe the enemy whispers things into our minds like, this is never going to end. You're going to lose everything. Everything's out of control. God has forgotten you. He doesn't really love you. You need to protect yourself. These are the things we can hear, I believe, from the enemy. So there's doubt, there's dismay, there's anxiety and fear, all of these things that Satan tries to stir up in our lives so that we abandon the work of restoration. And I think it's time, these times especially, that we're vulnerable, as I spoke of earlier, and that Satan knows it. So we're not thinking straight often when we're in kind of panic mode and dealing with high levels of anxiety. We're focused more on the chaos that's going around in us than on the Lord, and it can really throw us into a tailspin. So when your life is filled with these kinds of things, and if you would just take a minute here to think about the last time that this happened in your life and you just felt overwhelmed, there's a good chance that you're experiencing some spiritual warfare. And the question is, what do you do? So when you feel that way, what should you do? I've learned a lot about spiritual warfare over the past several years through different resources and talking with people and going through it myself. And when I looked at the rest of the story of Nehemiah in chapter 4 and the way that the people responded, I could see four ways that they responded that actually correspond with four ways that we need to respond when we're under attack. And it's just amazing how these things line up, okay? So I think these things are critically important for us to grasp in our day and age so that we know how to stand firm in battle and to help others stand firm as well. So I really encourage you to jot these things down. I've used these things time and time again when I've been in spiritual battle myself and then praying with other people. These truths and these ways to stand firm are very important. And the first way we see is in verses 13 and 14. So back to Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says this. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, so after the escalating threat of attack, here's the response. In the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. So if you look at what Nehemiah did in this situation and the people that he was addressing, especially at the end of these verses, you can see that he had people gather together in their clans, in their family groups, to fight underneath the leadership and the authority of the heads of each clan. And he reminded everyone how great and awesome God is and that they had nothing to fear. And then he called on the heads of every household to fight for their families. With God on their side, underneath that authority of their leaders, victory was certain. And we too can have certain victory over the enemy when we fight with underneath and with the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the head of our clan, if you will. So the first place that we need to go when we're under spiritual attack is to run to Jesus and stand firmly underneath his authority and in his authority. There are several passages that talk about this. One of my favorites is Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, where Paul says, He, God, the Father, raised him, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, that's to us, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus Christ has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Like, there is no contest when it comes to the dominion and authority that Jesus has. And God has given him to us, the church. We are his body. And when we put our faith in him, we're united with him. The Bible talks about how we become one with him. And because we're one with him, we have his authority in spiritual battle. Victory is certain. God is on our side. No weapon that's formed against us will stand. No attack of the enemy can be successful if we stand in the power of God and in the authority of Jesus Christ. And so when fear and anxiety and discouragement starts to overwhelm you and you feel like you're under attack, you need to declare the truth that I belong to God and I have been united with Christ. He has authority over every power and dominion, and I stand in His authority. In Jesus' name, I renounce any spiritual forces of evil that are trying to make me afraid and discouraged. I tell you to leave in Jesus' name, and I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me with His joy and peace and self-control. Evil spirits cannot read our minds, and so we declare these truths out loud, and because we declare them in the authority of Christ, they have to flee. So the thing that we need to do first when we're under spiritual attack and when the threat of attack is mounting is to stand firm in the authority of Christ. Powerful, powerful truth. The second thing that we need to do is found in verses 15 through 18. So let's read those. Nehemiah 4, 15 through 18. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan of their sneak attack, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. So the second thing I think is very clear in these verses that we need, the second thing we need to do to stand firm in battle is to arm ourselves for battle. So the people of Jerusalem armed themselves for battle every day. They were ready all of the time to fight whenever the attacks might come. And we need to take that same approach in our lives. God has given us armor and weapons to fight with, and we need to take them up every day. I think almost all of us are familiar with the armor of God, that idea and that passage in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul gives this really helpful image of a soldier and his armor and his weapons in order to help us to see how we need to arm ourselves for the spiritual battle that we're in. So I want to read those verses this morning in light of the context of what we're talking about. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, in His authority. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand on the evil day when the attack comes. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." What an awesome passage in talking about our ability to arm ourselves for battle. Some of you, I've heard, arm yourselves with these things every day, and I think it's a good practice to get into. So you could, you can mark Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bible. You can get a bookmark. I mean, the very popular, the armor of God is very popular. You can get a bookmark or a card maybe to put on your mirror. God has given us in this passage, as you see in the next slide up here, that He's given us truth, righteousness, readiness, salvation. Oh, there's one more. Faith, there it is. Faith, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer. All of these He's given us to be able to stand firm. Knowing that you're in a spiritual war zone, remind yourself every day of all these things that God has given you in Jesus Christ. And when you feel the battle closing in around you, remind yourself even more. Okay, that's the second response. The third response is in verses 18 through 20. Nehemiah 4:18, second half of verse 18 through 20. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, Nehemiah's talking again, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. And then listen to this, verse 20. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Okay? And so here we see that there was more strength in numbers, and when one area was under attack, the people were to rally to that area for support. And the same thing is needed in the spiritual battle that we're in. When we hear of somebody, maybe in our church family, a fellow Christian or whoever, that's struggling with discouragement and fear, and they're just going through a really rough time, they could be under spiritual attack, and we need to rally around them in prayer and in person. Jesus taught his disciples about the spiritual power that they had when they came together. In Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says this, "Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." And then again, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Okay, Jesus is with us when we're alone, but he seems to indicate in this passage that there's an even greater power over the enemy when we rally together. There have been many times when I've prayed for someone or they've prayed for me during a time of struggle, and oftentimes there's a power of darkness that's immediately broken and hope and encouragement comes in again. So when we sense that someone's under spiritual attack, we need to rally to them. Let's go on to the last response here. And you can give me the clicker. Nehemiah chapter 4, we're gonna bounce back and just plug that thing in. We're gonna bounce back to verse 9 here, and then go back to verses 21 through 23, because in here you see that there's similarities in these verses. So in verse 9, their response under the threat of attack is, "And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night." So you see, they prayed and set a guard. And then as we continue on in verse 21, it says, "So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand." So again, you see that they set a guard in the city. So here again, we see that under the threat of enemy attack, the people prayed and they set a guard for protection. And I think these two go hand in hand when it comes to the spiritual battle. When we pray, we are guarding ourselves against attack. We are in tune with the Holy Spirit. We're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, and therefore we're on attack or are on guard and watchful and aware of when the spiritual battles come our way. As you look throughout the New Testament, there's a call to pray and be watchful, okay, to be alert and be on your guard. One of those passages is Ephesians 6:18, which we just read earlier, where Paul says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." So you see, prayer and alertness, being on guard, woven together. Another passage is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, where Peter writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him," which to me is prayerfulness, "because he cares for you." So you see this casting of anxieties on him, and then he says in verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So again, you see that here. And then finally, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was deeply troubled, he said this to his disciples in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so prayer and being on guard against spiritual attack go hand in hand. And so we need to learn to pray regularly, to have an attitude of prayer throughout the day, to be communing with the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, so that we are on our guard against the attacks of the enemy. So I just, when I spent time in Nehemiah chapter 4 and I started to see what they were doing back then and the parallels that it has, that we have in the spiritual battles today, I was just amazed and just thankful for this passage of Scripture. So you have these four responses to the threat of spiritual attack that will guarantee victory. And you have to know that. They will guarantee victory. So I strongly encourage you to take note of these things. Write them down. I've got them up here. I'll leave them up here for the duration of our time this morning. Write these things down. Stand firm, number one, under the authority of Christ. Number two, arm yourself for battle. Number three, rally to one another when we're under attack. And number four, pray and stand guard. And by doing these things, you will be able to stand firm because of the power of God and the authority of Christ in the spiritual battle. And when you go through those times of chaos and confusion, when it just seems like everything's out of control and you're struggling with anxiety and dismay and discouragement and fear, you may be under attack. And these are the things that will help you, that God has given you, to stand firm. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for things written long, long ago, correspond with things that were written long ago that have to do with our spiritual battle that we're in. Thank you for helping us see these things today, and I pray that each of us would take heart, and as we are beginning to see more and more the reality of spiritual warfare, I pray that we would also make changes and take action, take these things to heart so that we are able to stand firm. And I just pray for the East Lincoln family, you know, in these uncertain times, a lot of this stuff can be going on, a lot of spiritual warfare in various ways. And I just pray, God, that by the ministry of your Spirit, you would pour out your Spirit on your people, that you would bring a hedge of protection, a strong hedge of protection over your people, and that we would be able to see when we're under attack, recognize it, and then take these steps to stand firm in it. In Jesus' name, amen.